Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
To go. 6:12. Happy Friday. Well, it isn't Chicago, and in Chicago, you have to make choices. Andrea, it's a big, strong, tough city that we love.
Yes, it is.
But sometimes tough choices have to be made. Here's the tough choice I'm presented with. In the top six at six, do you go with a potential nuclear war with North Korea or the Bears?
You know what?
I think our choice is obvious.
I think Bears.
It has to be the Bears.
I think it's the Bears, too.
I think Bears. Yeah, let's start. Let's make it a happy Friday.
Let's go to the top six at six.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
The top six at six on 720 WGN.
And for the first time, a celebrity guest appearance on the top six at six, live from Jacksonville, Florida, Lou Manfredini. Good morning, Lou.
Could you not find anybody else? You were looking for a B-minus local celebrity?
We had Kim Jong-un booked, but then he had a meeting.
Good morning, my friend.
How are you? Listen, let's do the top six at six, and then you and I can solve the world's problems, and then there's an important event that Lou is a big part of, we want to plug as well. But first, we begin with, of course, the major topic in Chicago, and that would be your Chicago Bears. Did you catch the draft last night, Lou?
I was actually at O'Hare trying to get to Jacksonville, so I was following our crack sports team staff on Twitter watching the whole thing. And so I did pay attention to it via the Twitter.
I happened to see Mitch Trubisky, your Chicago Bears quarterback, Mitch Trubisky and his parents in a pre-draft interview. Very impressive kid, and I'm not kidding. Very well-spoken, said all the right things. He was very impressive, Dave, I guess, in Indianapolis at the Combine.
Mm-hmm.
He jumped high, and he ran around cones like nobody's business.
He did.
But I thought, this is a good kid. Whatever team gets this kid late in the first round, second round, wherever he falls, well, that's probably a pretty good chance he'll be a decent quarterback. What I didn't anticipate is the Bears giving up everything for Mitch Trubisky. 3-4 draft picks, a couple of Cadillacs, and a soda machine. Isn't that what they gave him?
Well, not quite. Not quite. The soda machine, yes. But, you know, again, if he pans out and but that's a question with every player who was drafted last night, 32 of them.
Especially
and
in
it's this question
Bears,
with any
though.
Of them. You don't.
Didn't
you never
we,
know.
The Chicago Bears just spend $15 million on a quarterback.
Well, it's 18 guaranteed.
Yes.
45 over three. But that's okay. How many people have been begging and pleading, Bears, please draft a quarterback? No, they're going to take the best player available. That was the message being sent from Hallis Hall. So clearly there was a little bit of a smoke screen there, or they felt he was the best player that they had a chance to get. But the Bears finally made a bold move to get a quarterback.
Listen, drunks make bold moves.
Well, yeah, and NFL general managers do, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't.
So you like the pick?
I like the move. I do. I mean, look, it might not pan. We won't know for a while if this thing pans out. He's not going to be the starter from day one. Mike Glennon is going to be the quarterback.
I don't know.
No,
I don't know.
Ryan Pace said that last night, Steve.
Ryan Pace said he was going to pick the best player on the board. He wasn't the best
player
on the board.
Well, but maybe he figured he was the guy they wanted.
Maybe Ryan Pace is a bold drunk. We don't know.
He's not. No, you know what? I like the fact. I was stunned when it first happened. I didn't know what to think. I thought, okay, they just made this move. Did they have to trade to move up one spot to get him? Obviously, they thought other teams were going to try to jump in there and take
him. Obviously, they were bamboozled by the highly experienced general manager of the San Francisco 49ers. How long has he had that job?
Oh, about 3 weeks. But, no, I don't know if it was him or they were just getting messages from other teams. Whatever, they wanted to make sure they got the guy they wanted, and they made a rather striking move to get him.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. President Trump's in the news. He did an interview with Reuters yesterday, Lou. This is a real confidence builder. He said that there's a possibility of a major, major conflict with North Korea. And said in an interview he's seeking a diplomatic solution, but was concerned that the people in Pyongyang are preparing another nuclear test. If you're president of the United States, you don't throw the words, there's a possibility of a major, major conflict out lightly. And I've seen a bunch of people early this morning on the news networks talking about how he's strategizing here. He's trying to intimidate Kim Jong-un. Let me explain something to you one more time. Donald Trump doesn't strategize. He gets up in the morning, he opens his mouth, and things fall out. This fell out of his mouth. There was no meeting about this. There was no whiteboard discussion of this. There was no, I'm going to sit down with Reuters and I'm going to say this and then Kim Jong-un might do that. No, this is why this guy's dangerous, because things fall out of his mouth. As a matter of fact, Lou, I think that might be a hot T-shirt for him. You could sell him at your Ace Hardware stores. Just a picture of Trump with his mouth open and things falling out of it. You know me, it's only a thought.
Let me look into that.
All right. United Airlines reached a solution with David Dow. The passenger dragged off one of the flights, wouldn't disclose the amount, but it was less than what the Bears paid for Mitch Trubisky last night. And, well, we're running out of paper. Sometimes when I crumple up the paper, I pause. And I want to play one more thing from President Trump for you. Remember when he said that healthcare is complicated? Who knew? Remember that?
Yeah.
It was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because who knew? We found out healthcare was complicated. Who knew? Here is a clip from the Reuters interview we mentioned a second ago. This is interesting, talking about his overall impression of the job he's had now for 99 days.
I loved my previous life. I had so many things going. I actually, this is more work than in my previous life. I thought it would be easier. I thought it was more of I'm a details-oriented person. I think you would say that. But I do miss my old life.
There's no way he could possibly have thought being president of the United States would be easier than being the clown that was on The Apprentice. How could he have thought that? I get up in the morning and things fall out of my mouth. That's it. And finally, we're worried this morning about Kim Kardashian West, brought to tears while recounting her robbery in a conversation with Ellen, but then came around quickly as they talked about plans for Kanye's 40th birthday. Are you going to be at Kanye's 40th birthday party?
It's in Jacksonville.
Yeah, it is in Jacksonville. Wouldn't it be great? Kanye and Kim go to Jacksonville? Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. I'm getting it ready right now. That's why I'm here. I didn't want to say anything.
I think it'd be cool if it was a French theme party and they just came in and robbed Kanye. Just to, you know, so the whole family gets a little. Excuse me, Kanye, I will need your wallet. All right, now, before we leave the top six at six and move on to Lou's first caller and get on the phone at 312-981-7200. Andrea, Lou has a big event coming up. We all know how generous Lou is with his time and what he does for Ms. Recordia, and Andrea and I are demanding details now, Lou. What's happening?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you're so kind. Today and tomorrow is the annual Candy Day Drive for Ms. Recordia. It is a major fundraiser for Ms. Recordia. There are hundreds and hundreds of volunteers throughout the Chicagoland area who are going to be invests at corners, outside of businesses. And so any of that spare change that you may have in your wallet or in your car, all those pennies and quarters and dimes add up to a major, major fundraiser. One of the downsides, like many organizations that are all about helping people, is with the lack of state budget, state money is not flowing to these organizations. And so Ms. Recordia is relying on the generosity of individuals to help them meet their goals to continue their good work for 600 children and adults with developmental disabilities at their home on the north side of Chicago.
So where do we give the money?
At anybody, they're all over Chicagoland, so you're going to see people invest, and when you donate money, the folks from Jelly Bellies who get a nice little packet of these delicious jelly beans, they're going to be all over the place today and tomorrow, all over Chicagoland.
And Steve, you know, I don't carry change, so I just take a 20 and stuff it in there. That'll work as well.
Atta girl.
That's
atta
right.
Girl.
You have to.
That's
all
right.
Cause.
It's generous. It's not her 20, but it's still very generous.
Steve, spot me 20.
All right, first caller with Lou.
It's amazing how generous people are.
Yes.
It really
is. Well, I think most people get the Misericordia thing and how good it is, but your contribution to it through the years has been very important. We salute you for it.
Thank you. Thank you. My family as well.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Andrea, check those texts. And give me one text, your favorite text of the day, if there's one that fits for Lou. But let's go to Juan. Juan is the first caller. And Juan, congratulations, because you are a big winner. As a matter of fact, Andrea, grab the prize list as well, and you can be Vanna here, or Pat or Vanna, if you like. And tell Juan what he's won for being the first caller.
Well, Juan gets the April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. Brought to you by our friends at American Weathermakers. You know who they are, home of the 60 Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC.
Nicely done, and sung. Yes, nicely sung, yeah.
Thank you, Steve.
And Juan, the entire segment is sponsored by your friends at American Weathermakers. Congratulations on that. What's your question for Lou, live from Jacksonville?
Thank you. Lou, my question is, I have a wood frame house that was built in the 1930s. And from every now and then, randomly, different times of the day or night, the house will sway back and forth. And I've been told that maybe it's, I live in like in an industrial neighborhood, that maybe it's trucks passing by. But this, my house will sway for like about 3, 4, 5 minutes, and then it will stop, and we never know when it's going to happen again.
That's wild, Lou. How do you fix a house that sways?
Wow. Have you done any remodeling to the house where you've removed any internal walls, lateral walls that run perpendicular to the outside walls?
I did that. I removed two walls that were for a room in the second floor, but that was about maybe 10 years ago, and this didn't start happening until a couple years ago.
Okay. Well, I mean, the swaying can be a bunch of different. If it's a frame house, obviously, those lateral and interior walls actually help to strengthen the overall structure. But if you're getting some movement like that, it kind of tends to be an issue with the foundation, and maybe you have some erosion in the soil underneath that's causing this to move. One of the things that, you know, would probably make sense for you would be to call PermaSeal, because they do structural repairs, and they can actually come out and do an assessment. It's free of charge. You don't have to hire an engineer. And they may find that it might make sense to install some push piers down through the soil to help to support the footings underneath the foundation. This is not an inexpensive repair, but from a standpoint of a resale value and something that you don't want to ever come up as an issue for a sale, it might be money well spent.
Juan, good luck with that. That sounds like a lot, but enjoy your thermostat in the process, and maybe get a sign on the front door that says that if the house is rocking, don't come knocking.
Thank you very much, guys. Love your show.
Love it. Don't hang up. Don't hang up. Let's go to Andre. Do you have a texter?
We do. Lou, how hard is it to install new ceiling fans with lights? Can I do it myself, or do I need an electrician?
Well, the biggest issue with installing ceiling fans is you have to make sure that the box in the ceiling is anchored properly to hold the fan. Now, if there's an existing fan there already, then you should be in pretty good shape. You got to shut the power off, depending on how it's wired. If you have any electrical experience, if you've ever changed out a switch or swapped out and done a dimmer,
This is a similar switch. It's just that that what you're hanging is a little bit larger. You have to have a healthy respect for how electrical systems work. There's a ton of YouTube videos on this as well. It is something you can do yourself, but you have to make sure you're following all the instructions and always turn the power off at the breaker before you attempt it.
Also, make sure that you didn't just do an arm workout, because I've hung one and your arms get sore above your head holding a fan.
I'm sure Pat couldn't have helped you out. He was probably doing his hair for TV. Sandberg has a question.
I do. So I want to know if I have the right to do this. I have at the end of my street, it ends in a T, and my neighbors live across the street from the T. You know, so when you pull up to that stop sign, you stare at their house every single time you go that way. They have three planters. Two are like 5 feet apart, and then the third one is like 11 feet from the middle one. And I just want to know,
and the spacing drives you crazy?
Drives me batty. And I've been talking to Pat about it, and he thinks I got to let it go. But I see it, especially when it's...
What? What? How unreasonable of Pat to think you have to let that go.
But these people have really nice landscaping. I don't know why they haven't... Why do they don't want them spaced correctly? So I think that in the morning, because I leave so early, I should just drag the one over. But it might be a two-man job because they're pretty big planters. So
Steve, I think we have a responsibility to warn them. I think we need to warn the people.
Mary, are you seeing your therapist more than once a week?
How do you sleep at night? Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. You don't sleep.
When I leave the house.
I think you might want to up that to at least twice a week.
Okay.
Listen, I'm with you, Mayor. It's driven me crazy, and I haven't even seen it yet. But I think you move them, but please videotape it. Please. But please get a camera. Yeah.
I was going to snap
a
picture of it this morning just because I was going to bring
before
it up.
Before and after. And
we'll
also when the police.
We'll get the video of the police, you know, they're handcuffed, like with their hand on her head, like putting her in the back of the squad car. It was just driving me crazy.
Right, crazy. Right. There's no court in. There's no court in the land that would convict you. Any lingering thoughts from Dave before we run out of time? I'm just curious.
Dave?
Apparently not.
No, thought there were.
I thought so too. But.
Normally this is a time where your buckthorn might explode.
Yeah, well.
Lou, I hope you enjoy your time there in Jacksonville. Get back safely, and everybody remember Ms. Recordia Candy Days today and tomorrow.
That's great. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
See you, Lou.
See you, Lou.
See you later.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
That's Allstate, Stan. Are you in good hands?
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, Andre, as you know, Sandberg, producer of the program, sometimes worries that I might dwell a little too much on my favorite topic.
Sometimes, but if it's a good cause like this one, it's okay.
No. I'm talking about my favorite topic being trying to find a way to have Donald Trump either be a much better president or get out.
I thought you were talking about our kid of
the
week.
So she said, no, I love our kid of the week. Yeah. We'll meet in just a second, a bonus kid of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But so a couple weeks ago, this is what happens upstairs on the seventh floor. Todd Manley, my lifetime friend, and Sandberg will have a meeting, and they'll go, how do we manipulate Steve? You know, he's not that smart to begin with. And how do we manipulate Steve into doing something we want? And then they plan it, and they tell me what it is. And then I throw a fit. I'll say something like, yeah, okay, that'll work.
Yeah. Because you're so difficult, right?
I am difficult.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the kids of the week that we do, I mean, please. So occasionally we do these Friday feel-good things, right? We want you to feel good on a Friday. You know, we don't want you just to hear about all the negative stuff in the world. And today's a perfect example. On July 4th, we're not going to be here because it's July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
So there won't be a kid of the week that day. So we decided let's move the kid of the week all the way up to now. Let's move our bonus kid of the week in today. And that kid of the week joins us now live in studio along with, I believe, Stacey. Are you the teacher?
Yes, I am.
Where do you teach?
I teach at Robert Healy Elementary School in Bridgeport.
What grade level?
5th grade, 10 years old.
Obviously, that's a perfect age because they still love you. They don't think you know, they're not rolling their eyes at you yet.
Most of them.
I think I did a career day at your school one time. You brought in some speakers to talk to the kids.
I'm sure that's happened. Yeah.
And Stacey, your last name is Koulianes.
Colianese in Italian. Americanized. Coglianese.
Coglianese. How many different ways do people pronounce your last name?
A thousand.
Coglianese. Hey, it's Stacia Coglianese, yeah?
Cobblenese.
Cobblenese. Oh, Stacy Cobblenese is here. And Stacy, you were knocked out by Kaylin, who we're about to meet. And tell us why.
Kaylin is one of my star students in my after-school program that I started teaching this year. It's called Our American Voice, and it's a civics engagement program.
Love that.
Yeah, it's great.
I love the fact that you're committing to that because we're not teaching civics anymore.
No, it definitely needs to be pushed, especially at the younger ages, because that's where they're most receptive to these great ideas.
Andre, that's why I went to the teacher or the administrators at Stacy's school, and I said, you got to get Cobblenese more money.
You did, yes.
I said, you got to take care of the Cobblenese.
You definitely did. We're totally pulling for that. And you're right, though. Political science, it's almost lost now.
Nobody teaches civics.
Right. And it's a college class, but it should be, you know, at a young age, like for kids like Kaylin.
And Stacy got a field trip coming up. We'll tell you about that in a second. But Kaylin Sierzynski is here. And good morning, Kaylin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to meet you. Sorry we got you in here so early. It's kind of a cool room, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You waving to the people on Michigan Avenue?
No.
You should as they walk by. Wave to them. You're a big star now.
We'll teach you how to heckle them, Steve.
So, Kaylin, you're 11 years old.
Yes.
And are you interested in how the government works and how politics works and... your local school works and all that stuff?
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Does it help that your teacher, Stacy, is teaching that stuff?
Yes.
All right. So tell me a little bit about yourself. What do you like? What do you like to do?
I like to play softball.
And what position do you play?
I'll play any position.
What position do you feel like you're the best at?
Third or second base.
Are you fast? Are you a good runner?
Yes, I would say so.
Are you a good hitter?
Most of the time.
So you're a better defensive player than an offensive player?
I would say so.
Okay. Softball's fun because you're on the team and you're hanging out with your pals, right?
Yes.
What do you do when you're not playing softball?
I'll play with my sister or go on my phone.
And your sister is how old? Older or younger?
She's younger.
She's.
Oh, that's great. So you can make her do the stuff that you want to do.
I wish.
It's nice to see her cheering you on, too. That's sweet.
Yeah, what's your sister's name?
McKenna.
And how old is McKenna?
She's 7.
Andre, give McKenna $20 out of Dave Bennett's wallet.
All right, McKenna, we got some.
Dave, yeah, I'm reaching in my wallet
give her some
now.
Money.
Oh, you know what? I don't.
Oh, she perked
McKenna,
up.
I will get back to you on that.
Oh, okay. What?
I don't
McKenna,
have a 20.
We'll get you something. Dave's cheaping out.
The Our American Voice Project needs student leaders as well, and your teacher told us that you're, you know, a leader in helping make sure the kids are involved in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's important to have somebody speak up and go, let's do this. Come on, guys. We're all in. Let's go. Are you the let's go person?
Sometimes.
Oh, I think you're being modest. Is she being modest, Teach?
Oh, definitely. She's the first person.
Yeah, tell me what she does in your classroom that made you nominate her.
Well, Kaylin is the first person every time to clear out our classroom, set up the tarp, bring the paints over, bring all the chairs over, and just get everything rolling. And also, she's the last person or the first person to want to clean up and, you know, chat about our progress for the day, and just volunteers for every opportunity to help out with this project.
And I respect your modesty, Kaylin, but you should be very proud of that.
I am.
Okay, and it's a good thing to show your little sister, too. So tell me about the trip coming up. You're going downstate?
Yeah, we're going to Springfield on May 2nd.
Well, that's going to be exciting. And Stacy, as the teacher, what are you going to have the kids see and do?
Well, this is our American Voice Summit, so the students participating in this program in Illinois, all over Illinois, will be coming together and meeting with their state legislator and representative and showing off their project, showing off their work, talking together on the issues that they're facing in their community and how they can come together and solve them.
It's really great that kids get involved. How do you keep it clean? I mean, during the political election, right, Steve? You and I bantered about this for a lot of the pre-election coverage. But how do you keep it clean? I mean, how do you explain? Okay, this is mudslinging. This is not how adults should treat each other.
I pretty much just always bring it back to being the person, the good person that I know they are, and seeing the good in people, and try to see things from others, the other person's point of view. So,
right, take it back to basics. Tell me what, Caitlin. Tell me what Healy's little library is.
It's where you take a book and you leave a book. Where we have, it's like, it looks like a little house, but it's gonna be like on a pole. And it's going to be outside for any grade or any person to walk by, and you could take a book or leave a book for anyone to read.
Great way of sharing.
Yes.
All right. Now, Caitlin, here's, do you know what a budget is, Caitlin?
Yes.
Okay. And you may or may not know this. You know, the state doesn't have a budget, and the people in Springfield have been arguing about this. So if Dave were to not be a cheapskate and were to give you $20, you'd have $20 to spend, right?
Yes.
And it would be good if you knew what you were going to spend that $20 down. You might even write it down, say, in a budget. Maybe you'd agree with your little sister and your parents on what you'd buy. So when you guys go to Springfield, I hope you're given an opportunity to talk to some of the alleged grown-ups there and say, would you guys please get a budget for the state? Because my mom and dad yell about this a lot at home, and it's giving me a headache.
Okay.
Hey, if she
there'll be further discussions of this with Stacy in a classroom, I'm sure.
She might actually get us a state budget deal, Steve.
I'm
fully confident in her ability.
I have way more faith in Stacy as the teacher and Caitlin and your friends as students than I do in the elected reps there. So, but I think it's a really important trip. There's great history there. And I think you're going to have a lot of fun. And I'm glad you were a kid of the week this week. So I appreciate you being on.
Thank you.
All right, give her some prizes, Andrea. Stop holding out.
You bet. Well, Dave, in addition to the money that Dave is going to give both Caitlin and her sister.
Okay, wait a minute. I only have $120 in my wallet. I did
so
find
what? You're
it.
You're a grown-up. You can get more.
Caitlin, you're going to get an Amazon Zip gift card. You can buy anything you want on Amazon.com and a gift card for a Lou Malnati's Pizza.
Thank you.
Sounds That's
good,
not
huh?
so bad.
Yeah.
And thanks to your family, too, for letting you come down and joining us. Stacy Colianisi, I love what you're doing in class. I'm just confident you're a terrific teacher, and I hope you keep it up.
Thank you so much, Steve.
All the best to the folks at Robert Healy Elementary School, and thank you again to Allstate. Andre, if kids want to get involved in this, or more importantly, I guess if parents or nominators want to nominate a kid for Kid of the Week, for the Allstate Kid of the Week, do you have some information on what they might do?
I absolutely do. It's so easy. If you want your kid to be Kid of the Week, just go to WGNradio.com/contest. All you have to do is submit an entry for a youth between 9 and 18 years old that you think should be Allstate Kid of the Week. Again, it's sponsored by Allstate. They believe good starts young and works towards inspiring the next generation of leaders to reach their full potential and make the world a better place through service.
Traffic from Mary Vandeveld, what do you have? There is a story out about things that Kim Jong-un's classmates at school when he was a kid have been asked about in interviews, and they've compiled it into a list. Let me give you a few of these. You know, I feel like, Andre, we should know Kim Jong-un a little better since we might have a nuclear war with him.
I think so, too. That's probably a good idea.
Know your nuclear war enemy. He loved his Air Jordans. We know what a basketball fan he is. He had Dennis Rodman fly over there. The voice of diplomacy, Dennis Rodman. Maybe if we just bomb North Korea with Air Jordans, he'd lighten up. He used an alias when he was in school in Switzerland. He went by Pak-un, but he could never keep his mouth shut, and he kept telling people who he really was, and nobody believed him. Yes, I am the son of the guy that runs North Korea.
What is my dad's better than your dad?
Yeah, my dad got nukes. He loved action movies. He would skip school regularly to sit around and play his Sony PlayStation. He missed 105 days of school in his second year, but the other students were surprised that the school didn't make a big deal about it. Hey, look the other way, as long as the check clears.
Okay, 105 days. Aren't there only like 110 days of school?
There may be. I don't know. It's the Kim Jong-un system.
Yeah.
They said he was a nice guy and rarely raised his voice, but when out to dinner with some school friends, he was served lukewarm pasta and threw it at the waiter.
I mean, who doesn't, right?
Yeah, we all do that. He liked track suits as opposed to regular clothes. And now his clothes are constantly tailored because supposedly between 2012 and 2016, he's gained 95 pounds.
Oh, jeez. So he's his own tailor.
And Kim still had a partial school year to finish when he disappeared in the early 2000s, never left a forwarding address, and obviously turned up
as the dictator. His former classmate, a Swedish girl named Nikola, said, "We thought he was ill or something. He seemed like a nice guy. I hope he's a good dictator, but dictators usually aren't that good."
No, right?
No, they're really,
can you see,
no, they're really not, Nikola.
Can you see him at the prom? You know, does he bring the bouquet of flowers? Does he bring the little the nosegay? Or
that's a good point. If he went to the prom, what happens if you turn him down? Do you disappear?
Old prom pictures of Kim Jong-un. They got to be out there somewhere.
You turn down Kim Jong-un for the prom, you're never seen again.
Right.
You know,
you
mentioned the Rodman thing. Why can't he be brought into this somehow?
Dennis Rodman?
Yeah. I mean, why not? Kim Jong-un obviously admires the guy. Maybe he can be, I know it sounds crazy, but maybe he can be the guy to.
You want to turn over the future of this country to Dennis Rodman? Don't we have enough problems with the guy that's already got the presidency? Well,
that's my point.
No.
So you think Rodman's an upgrade? Well, I'll look into it. I'll put my best people on it. And news next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
The 49ers wanted to move back to accumulate as many picks as possible. The Bears come up to number two. The player they've been eyeing all along has been Solomon Thomas from Stanford.
My God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone?
With the second pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Mitchell Trubisky, quarterback, North Carolina.
Huh? Once the trade happened, was there a call? Was there anything?
No, there was no call. I didn't even think I was going to get picked until the commissioner said my name, so... it just came down, and it's a dream come true. It's as surreal as it gets.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
Wow, what are they doing? What are they doing now? Chicago Bears pick Mitchell Trubisky. And Dan Hampton, Hall of Famer, joins us now. You know, Hamp, I was mentioning this earlier. I saw Mitchell Trubisky and his mom and dad in a pre-draft interview, and I was thinking to myself, well, this is a nice kid. So well-spoken kid, don't know much about him. I know he's only played as a senior, but whatever team ends up with him, he's going to be a solid second, maybe a journeyman QB someday, but he's a solid citizen. Seems like a nice guy. Might be fun to be around. Never in my life, Hamp, did I think we'd trade everything for him.
Well, good morning. It is very interesting times here in Chicago. I got to tell you, you could have knocked me over with a feather. I was at Soldier Field, much like a lot of the Bear fans yesterday. We obviously, you know, hey, and that is kind of the way it works. Hey, you have a bad season. You got a high draft pick to kind of help you get over it. And then, you know, Ryan Pace doubling down with a pair of sixes here, trading a three, a four, a three next year, and the third overall pick this year to move up one spot and go and take this young man. Let's hope that he's more than just a nice kid. Let's hope that he's a franchise type quarterback. But you know, I got to tell you, this whole thing is mind boggling, and it'll all come out, as you know. You've got to play a little poker. You got to, you know, in your heart, you've got to say to yourself, this is the guy when you're picking that high, you got to say to yourself, this is the guy I want to get. And I stayed up and listened to Pace's press conference at midnight last night, and he kept stressing this was the kid. Out of all the players in the draft, you could have had anybody. This was essentially the one player that he wanted more than all others. A quarterback that's never been under center. And how convenient. We've got a center that never was a center. all I can say is let's hope we never hear the words Cade McNown and Rex Grossman with this kid, because obviously the Bears, you know, this is a move a general manager makes when he first gets to town. You draft a quarterback, the second overall pick. You mortgage all the picks in the future to go and get him. Why would you want to make him, you know, sit on the sidelines for a year? This is a kid like Carson Wentz last year. You say you throw him in the deep end and say, hey, you're going to swim. Because if he was the 25th pick, let him sit. He's the second overall pick. I think you got to have a kid you could play. And it looks like They're just going to, you know, put him on the bench for a year. So this is all really perplexing. And more importantly, if Ryan Pace, thinks I've got to do something bold and outlandish to keep my job, well, he accomplished it last night.
Well, here's the thing, Camp. You and I are both Chevy guys. And if I get a brand new Chevy Tahoe, I'm going to love that Chevy Tahoe. Let's say I name my Chevy Tahoe Mike Glennon, and I'm going to want to drive my Mike Glennon, and I'm going to want to spend a lot of time in my Mike Glennon. I don't think I'm going to need another Chevy Tahoe to park in the driveway. What does this say to Mike Glennon, and what does this mean about who the quarterback is even beyond the first few tough games?
Exactly. And, the month of September, it's tough sledding. We open with the Super Bowl contending Falcons, and then we got Pittsburgh and Green Bay, and I think Detroit. That's no place to be throwing in a rookie, but all that being said, this is a football team that had the worst turnover takeaway ratio on defense of any team in its history, let alone the entire league last year. Possibly the worst receiver core that lost its only viable potential star in Alshon Jeffrey, and an offensive line that put three quarterbacks on the IR last year. So all that being said, they went and spent $15 million for a guy named Glennon that they're going to basically hand the ball to, and then they mortgage the future to get a quarterback that they won't. They say they're not going to expect anything from for at least a year. That's going with the first-round pick of 2 years ago, Kevin White, that hasn't been on the field. So, again, like I said, this is very perplexing. On one hand, we all want this to work.
Of course.
And, yeah. And it, look, and see, people don't understand this. I played the game a long time, and I played against great quarterbacks. And I realized how important it was to have one. So many things become almost easy if you have a difference maker quarterback, not a mistake maker. Well, every year we have to, here in Chicago, line up against Green Bay twice a year with their Hall of Fame. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame, highest rated quarterback of all time, active quarterback. And we've got to play against Detroit and Minnesota, who now have quarterbacks that were the first overall pick in the draft. No small feat to accomplish there. These guys obviously have great talent. So it is important that we can match up, that we can say, hey, we've got somebody we think can compete on the same level at the same high rate. Drafting this kid after going and signing Glennon to a $15 million a year contract, you're essentially saying, well, we want to get in that league and play that game, but it ain't going to happen for another year. So, like I said, this is talking about crossing your fingers and crossing your legs, that's Ryan Pace is doing that this morning.
So, Dave, make us feel better.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to do that because I was feeling pretty good up until now. But, Hamp, do you foresee, and obviously this is a guess, but do you think that we will see Mitchell Trubisky start a game for the Bears at any point in the 2017 season?
I'm guessing yes. Like I said, that offensive line put three guys on last year. And as sad as that is, you got to think, you are what you are. And and all that being said, they went and got Mark Sanchez, the butt fumbler, to be the backup quarterback. And why do that? If you really – this is the thing. How long ago did Ryan Pace – identify the fact that Trubisky is this future budding superstar?
Right.
If he did it before he signed Glennon, then gosh, that's really, really dumb. And if it was over the last week or two, boy, did he get kind of pantsed at the poker table by thinking everybody else in the league. And all these draft experts, there won't be a quarterback taking in the first round. I mean, it was almost like a mini run on quarterbacks. And quite honestly, I was hoping with that third pick that he would trade down and maybe get a couple of picks in the 20s for the third pick because, that's value that you could see how that could happen. And Kansas City took this kid, Patrick Mahomes, who I personally thought was, you know, a special young Brett Favre kind of player. So, Ryan Pace, he pushed all the chips in. And he's saying, hey, this is the kid, so now we're going to find out. And will he have to start at some point this year? Quite possibly. But, you know, as of last night, they're saying, no, we don't expect it. So we'll see what happens. And, again, you know, after Cutler got hurt, Hoyer went down. Remember, Barkley came out of nowhere and played the last month and a half of the season. So who's to say, you know, with a team that's struggling with a bad offensive line, anything is possible.
Yeah, and I know you're going to talk more about this with a continued coverage for the next couple of rounds, too. Which Dave will tell us when that's going to happen. But, you know, when you've got nothing but needs on a 3-3 team, you're going to need draft choices, and now we don't have any. Other than that, it was a perfect night. It's the great Dan Hampton. When do we hear the draft coverage today, Dave?
Draft coverage will continue. Well, the draft continues at 6 o'clock tonight. They're going to introduce Mitchell Trubisky at a news conference this afternoon at Hallis Hall. Adam Hoge will be up there. He'll be reporting all afternoon. And then tomorrow, Hamp and OB with Kaz checking in also with a draft special from 2 to 4 tomorrow afternoon leading into the beat. And that's all sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Hamp, I thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, I just want to leave you with one little nugget. There's been twice before the second overall pick was taken from North Carolina. One was Lawrence Taylor, the other one Julius Peppers, two Hall of Famers. So,
all right, well, okay. There you go.
Now we feel better.
There you go. Way to leave us with some sunshine. Well done, buddy. Traffic from Mary Vandeville. Then we get Karen Conti in here to explain if United has a new drag you off a plane policy. Well, wait, no, that can't be right.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Hey! Oh, my God! Look at what you did to him! Oh, my God!
It's actually live audio from a couple of our listeners who thought they were getting a Lou Malnati's pizza, but they were the wrong caller. We felt bad about it. We sent them the pizza anyway. Karen Conti joins us now, and Andrea, say hi to Karen.
Karen, how are you?
Good morning, Andre. Good morning, Steve.
Big settlement with United for Dr. Dow here. How come they don't disclose what the settlement is, Karen?
Well, in most of these cases, you don't get that amount. In this case, I was, though, a little surprised because I would think that United paid a lot of money in this case, and maybe they would have wanted the public to know that they were paying that much money so that we could all forgive the airlines for doing this horrible thing. But it's very normal that there's a confidentiality agreement as to the amount of the settlement.
What do you think it is, ballpark?
You know, I say it's $1 million. My lawyer friends, you know, say it's somewhere between $1 million and $2 million. We're gauging that by the enthusiastic announcement by the plaintiff's lawyer, Tom Demetrio, who is gushing about how fair United was in settling. And I would think that that means that he got what he wanted and maybe more.
There is a group of lawyers who will bonus you, Andrea, if you come up with a new funny United Airlines logo in their pool.
I know some of the ones that they've come out with. Was it Southwest who said we just beat our competition, not our customers?
Oh, that's nice. That's a good one.
Yeah. I like that one. I have the one giving new meaning to airport terminal.
Oh, there you go. Very nice.
That's good.
How about this?
Or
sit
coffee,
down.
Coffee tea or broken nose?
There you go. How about I said put your seat back up? Huh? Yeah. Sit down, shut up, and don't look at me, and there won't be any trouble. These are just ideas. Does he have to pay taxes on his settlement, the screaming doctor?
No, he won't. You know, most of these personal injury accidents, they're basically if the amount of money is deemed to be for pain and suffering and for compensation for injuries, there's no tax liability. When you get to a situation like a employment case where you have money that is coming to you in lieu of income, then it's taxable. So this is probably going to be deemed to be all non-taxable to the doctor.
Are we going to start to see people throw themselves in the aisle and claim they're being dragged off, even if there are no police near them? You know, we're going to put – the airlines are saying $10,000 if you want to be bumped. People are going to be screaming, bump me. I know there's only four people on the plane. There's going to be rabbits claiming they're dead on the plane. Doesn't this set up a whole problem in that area?
Well, it could. First of all, I think litigation can do some really good things to consumer interest. I mean, if you look back over the history of car litigation and medicine bottles and things like that, everyone kind of gets mad that lawyers are filing lawsuits, but it really has changed and made things safer. And this lawsuit, I mean, look, they're changing their policies drastically, training and get compensating people for their being bumped. I mean, this is going to change the industry, and all of the other airlines are going to follow suit. So I think this is a good thing. But yes, there will always be people who will take advantage of a policy, take advantage of a situation, and test it. You know, I mean, I think the average person is not going to do this. Frankly, when I'm flying, I don't really care how much they give me. I mean, I just want to get to where I'm going. But there are going to be people who hold out for $10,000 because they think they can make an extra dollar. But that's always going to be the case, I suppose.
Karen, aviation police were released from all of this, too. United, very quick to say the police were just doing their job. We called them in. That's a good thing, too. Is they're trying to ease relations with aviation police, too?
Yeah, and I also think, Andre, that it's them trying to take responsibility, because certainly the police, in my view, had as much liability here as United did. I mean, the excessive force they used was inappropriate, and they certainly would have had some liability here if it went to trial. So I think United just wanted to say, listen, we're taking responsibility, and, you know, after the first round of apologies, and I put that in quotes, I think everyone was very upset that United wasn't taking responsibility. So this is their way of saying, okay, this is on us, we're doing it.
I don't know if you want to do this, but it might be entertaining next time you fly United just to change your ringtone to the Dr. Dow scream, and no. Then have people call you right before the doors close. Listen, I just want everybody to be happy, Karen, you know that, and I want people to get the help they need if they need you. Where do they do that?
You can call me at 312-332-7800 or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
Enjoy your weekend. We're going to come back with the big story, and then a lot of Trump's tweets are kind of childish, so we've actually hired a child to read them. 100 days of Trump tweets coming up. Dean after 8, as the Steve Cochran Show continues next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
A modern form of communication between Facebook and Twitter. And I guess Instagram, I have 28 million people. It's a great form of communication.
I have a method of fighting back. That's very tough.
But you're going to do that as president.
I'm going to do very restrained, if I use it at all. I'm going to do very restrained. I'm not saying I love it, but it does get the word out.
I'm sitting there tweeting, bing, bing, bing. You press a button, bing, bing. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, he is the tweeting POTUS. POTUS, the tweet man. Andre, I stand by what I said after he was elected. And that was, the first thing I said was I screamed like Dr. Dow on the United Airlines flight.
Yeah, louder even. Weirder,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, but after I came to my senses, I said, that was me. That was me the morning after the election. But when I came to my senses, I said, look, I hope he doesn't give up Twitter, because I think it is a legitimate modern form of communication. I said, I just hope he uses it wisely. I don't know why we have to keep playing me.
Too bad that went out the window 13 seconds after.
Well, you know, as I said, his tweets are childish. Too often childish. What do children do? They fly off the handle. They say things without knowing, what they're talking about. They're very emotional. And that pretty much sums up about 75% of his tweets. So we thought, why not have a child read his tweets from 100 days? So let me bring Sandberg in here. Sandberg, did you hire Patrick Jr. for this?
I did. And he's expecting some sort of compensation.
What do we get him? I mean, what do we get him that he doesn't have already? Is it pizza? What does he want?
Pizza goes a long way with him.
Amazon gift card?
He likes it. He loves Amazon. Yeah, okay. He's a pizza guy. Amazon. He loves headphones.
Cash.
All right, so let's
cash.
So let's fire Sandberg. So Patrick will be eligible for the prizes, and then rehire on Monday.
Perfect.
There you go.
Seems like the right thing to do. All right. So you recorded these with him last night.
Yes.
Did he? Was he into the session?
He was into the session, and he was. You won't be able to see it, obviously, because it was audio. But he was demonstrative. Hands
nice.
Failing. He was doing his Trump. So,
nice,
but it
nice.
Wasn't until we were three in, and he said, "Who is this saying this?" I said, "You know, President Trump." And he goes, "That's who I thought this sounded like."
Oh, that's awesome!
He thought they were true to the voice.
And did you put some sort of tanning solution on him and put an orange wig on his head?
I did not do that.
Mm-hmm. Probably a good call by you. DCFS could have been outside.
They're already worried that he was reading tweets.
Yeah.
From the president.
Yeah. So this is Patrick Jr. Patrick Jr. reading Trump tweets. Roll it.
Is it legal for a sitting president to be wiretapping a race for President prior to be an election turned down by court earlier? A new law.
I like how he emphasized a new law.
I do too.
Very solid.
New law.
This goes back to
law.
By the way, when I went back 100 days, I only went back 30 days because we found 15 ridiculous tweets. And frankly, it could have been 30 or 40 just in the month of March, just back to the beginning of March. So what would that be? 6-7 weeks for the run up to the 100 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Here's Patrick Jr. reading another Trump tweet.
I bet a good lawyer can make a great case out of the fact that President Obama was tapping my phones in October just prior to the election.
I got to say, when Patrick reads them, I like them more.
I know. And, you know, you had given a longer list, but then you had specified we only needed to do about 8 of them.
Right.
And when I handed Patrick the list, he goes, I'm not doing all these, are you? I said, am I? And I said, no, you're going to do about 8. He goes, oh, that sounds about right. Like, he felt that was a reasonable workload.
Well, when he gets his normal voiceover sessions, he doesn't want to be taxed, right? Yeah. He's got to save his pipes. Patrick Jr. on the President Obama tweet.
How long has President Obama gone to tap my phones during this very sacred election process? This is Nixon Watergate. Bad guy!
Yes, he is a bad guy. And just for me, give me one more.
Manuel, Sleepy Eyes, Chuck, Todd, and NBC News start talking about Obama's surveillance scandal. And stop with the fake Trump-Russia story.
I'm telling you, Andrea, Trump ought to hire Patrick.
Right? I know. He's hilarious. You know what? I would rather have the daily press briefing from Patrick Jr. than John Spicer. At least Patrick would be nice to us.
Hey, Steve.
He would be...
Sorry. Can we get the tweet about the apprentice read? I think it's a good
one. Yeah. We're going to come back and do a couple more because there is an Arnold Schwarzenegger apprentice tweet you got to hear. Patrick Jr., this is Sandberg's stepson, reading Trump tweets. This is the way they're so much more pleasant this way. You know, you got a cute kid reading him. He means no harm. It makes you feel better about the whole world.
He asked me after if he really was tapping the phones. He wanted to know if President Obama really did it. I said no.
Wow, he's actually delving into the content of the tweets. Look at that.
All
right, we'll come back. Patrick Boyle Jr. reading Trump tweets. Again, it just seems right to have a 10-year-old read the tweets of the president because sometimes the president, when he tweets, acts like a 10-year-old. You know, if there's one thing we heard, Andrew, over and over again, what do we hear? We heard fake news, fake news, ugh, fake news, mm-hmm, fake news. Just so, so aggravating. But listen to how much nicer it sounds when Patrick reads it.
It is the same fake news media that said there is no path to victory for Trump. And that is now pushing the phony Russia story. Total scam.
Oh, you know, total scam.
Even when he calls it a scam, it sounds nice.
Again, I'd rather have the daily press briefing from him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would chuckle.
And what does a good-hearted 10-year-old like Patrick Boyle Jr., what does he want? He just wants everybody to be nice. Listen.
It's amazing how rude much of the media is to my very hardworking representatives. Be nice. You will do much better.
That's good advice for all the 10-year-olds listening, including the president. Just be nice. Be nice.
Now, Zamberg, when you asked Patrick to read this Apprentice tweet about Arnold Schwarzenegger, did you have like an interior bet in your head on how he would do pronouncing Schwarzenegger?
Well, yes, he gave it a go, and we did a little. I went over it with him because it didn't.
Right.
It didn't go with the word he was saying.
Here is one more tweet from Patrick Jr.
Arnold Schwarzenegger isn't voluntarily leaving The Apprentice. He was fired by his bad, pathetic ratings. Not by me. Sad end to a great show.
You know what we can do? Every day at the end of this show, we could play Sad End to a Great Show. You know, just to tag the show every day with Patrick saying Sad End to a Great Show. Thank you, Patrick Jr. Nicely done by you. And as we go forward again, I don't want the president to give up on Twitter. I'd like him to keep tweeting. There's a pop messaging element to his office, not a tantrum tweet the way he uses it now. Don't you agree, Andre?
Completely agree. Oh my gosh. As I said, I could just listen to him all day. He's so cute.
He is so
and
cute.
Nice.
And you know, like how the president tweets in some broken English? Patrick was filling in the proper pronouns and, you know,
right.
Participles that were missing because he said, this doesn't make sense, you know, because he's, I'm like, oh, it's not really a sentence, but.
I like how he sounds out the word too when he did pathetic. Yeah. He was like, pathetic.
Yeah.
Which is pathetic.
The 10 year old understands complete sentences.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nicely done, and please forward. Dave, did you give away your last 20?
What was that?
Never mind. It's a different show.
No.
We'll come back.
No, I didn't hear what you...
Your last 20.
You give away
my last 20.
20,
yes. I gave away my last 20.
Was
he had to give two. He already had to give two.
I didn't see you give anything to the kid of the week.
We used to have an ATM in the terrible cafeteria here, but we don't anymore.
That's right. It went away, unfortunately.
Take my platinum card. Give it to Patrick Jr. Thank you, Patrick Jr. If you'd like to hire Patrick Jr., contact Sandberg. We're back after this with the news on 720 WGN.
Total scam.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Let's go live to Channel 9. Dean Richards standing by. Good morning, Dean. How are you?
Good morning, everybody. Hello, hello, hello.
Start with your plug for Sunday. You're on Sunday?
I am on Sunday.
The first time have you ever been on a Sunday?
I'm very excited to be joining the cast of WGN.
How many years have you done that Sunday show?
Since 1994.
23 years.
1994.
Feel like you've hit your groove?
I think we could work out a few bugs still. Have you heard the show?
I've heard the show and I love it. You know, I listen every Sunday.
That's what Dean calls the B-listers, the bugs.
The bugs, the B-listers are actually, that's the people he works with on Sunday. You identify the cast of your Sunday show.
Well, let's
do a word association game. You say a name, I'll say a response.
Dave Schwann.
Inmate.
No, he's a nice guy.
That's accurate.
No, he's a great guy.
No, that's accurate. He's on a work release program. That's why you only hear him on Sunday.
Who else do you have on that show?
We have Sam Panionovich.
Love Sam.
On sports.
Sam, is that the Panionovich? That would be your Panionovich, Sam? Your Sam Panionovich?
That's our required weekly dosage of Panionovision.
He's a little cocky for me at times, but overall I like him.
He just won a big award, Associated
Press.
Yeah,
that's right. I think he's just cocky. That's what made him cocky. He wasn't cocky until he won the big award.
It's a second-place award, if it makes you feel any better.
It was a second-place Nobel Prize. You don't even get to go to pick it up. You get a letter.
And that is the extent of our cast.
That's your regular cast?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you have, you know, like dozens of people.
I got too many people on this
show.
We get
it done with three people every Sunday morning.
Seventh caller right now gets to name one person I throw off this show. Seventh caller. all right. We'll do traffic here in a couple minutes.
Did you take the proper dosage of medication today?
May have taken too much.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Kim Kardashian's in the news. Oh. James Earl Jones is in the news. The Silver Circle TV Awards tonight. You know, it seems like it was just a year ago I was at the Silver Circle
you
Awards
were.
Watching you.
You
get
were.
In,
you were
in,
cheering
inducted.
Me on. You were cheering me on. That was a year ago. And this year, a whole new crop of Chicago television personalities are being honored.
Do you remember the one distinctive commonality amongst all of you that went in last year?
We all had 90-year-old parents who were in
exactly,
the audience.
Exactly. 90 or older. They're like two or three. They're 100-plus.
Yeah. Just about everyone is like, I want to thank my 90-year-old father, my 93-year-old mother's here. Mine, at the time, my 93-year-old mother was also there. She's 94 now.
Your mom, Dean, is a riot. She's an absolute hoot. I talked with her at your Walk of Fame induction last year for a good 20, 30 minutes. She's the best. She is so funny.
Well, it started some problems last year because Jay Levine's father was hitting on Dean's mother and
right.
a whole rumble broke out.
Yeah. We had to stop
and you don't
them.
See a rumble broke out very often since West Side Story hasn't been on a while.
It's not easy where a rumble with 90-year-olds because, you know, you start doing the dance and the walkers get tangled up with the canes.
Yeah, it's not
and
good. It's not good.
It's a mess. Oh, yeah.
There was a whole chase scene on those hum around scooter things that they ride.
Segways?
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to be an America.
So we'll talk about that. Also, the movie reviews for the weekend. We'll get to that coming up as well.
That's
but first,
a lot.
It's a lot. I don't know if we'll have time, but we'll get it in.
Exhausted already.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 972. Oh, 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 oh.
Back to Dean at Channel 9. All right, so Kim Kardashian shows up on Ellen, and what happened?
Well, it was really the first time that she's talked about the Paris jewel heist that took place.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've ever mentioned this.
We have not mentioned it, but a bunch of beret-wearing bicyclists stormed her Bastille, and I think you know where her Bastille is, and took her jewels.
I've seen her balance a glass on her Bastille.
Yeah, she got a huge Bastille.
She has a huge, gigantic Bastille.
Miss Kardashian, we're going to need your jewels. If only I could see her on the show called Ellen to hear what kind of effect we had as the robbers on Kim Kardashian.
So she lost it?
She got a little teary. I think we have a little of Le Kim.
You got a clip? Let's go to the clip.
Le Kim.
I know this sounds crazy, but I know that was meant to happen to me. I, like, don't want to start crying, but, like, I feel like that was so meant to happen to me. Like, I'm such a different person. And, like, I'm just don't want to start crying anymore. But, yeah,
You can cry.
It was meant to happen to me. Like, the things, I really feel like things happen in your life to teach you things.
Yep.
And this was like, I'm just, thanks. I'm so happy that my kids get this me and that this is who I'm raising my kids because I just don't care about that stuff anymore.
Really?
You know,
wow.
I really don't. Yeah.
There you go. A very emotional.
Which part does she not care about? Kanye, the jewels, which part?
The sex tape.
The sex tape?
No, she doesn't care about, you know, the materialistic things anymore.
And I'm sure her children will look at all of that as learning experiences, too.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
No.
They're
yeah.
moving. And I'm just getting this note. They're moving to a double wide in Arkansas. Good for them. Good for them.
Keeping it real. Keeping it real.
It would be a triple wide, but Kardashian for Kim's. Because...
Just the door
the
part.
Side, because of the side of Kim's Bastille. Mm.
That ain't right.
It ain't right at all.
It really ain't right.
How many Kardashian kids are there now? How many does she have?
There's, are there...
She got a little North, right? She got a North.
She's got North, and I think, is that
And
it?
Then she's got
South by Southwest.
Clark.
That's the boy's name.
Corner of Clark and Ohio. Isn't that the other name of the kid, Clark and Ohio? I don't know what the other kid's name is.
Andrea, let's go to our Kim Kardashian correspondent for that.
I know, right? I'm trying to find the kid's name.
I can't remember.
All I'm getting is Kylie, Chloe, Kendall. Those are the sisters. Those are the siblings. Hold on.
Maybe we Google all Kim Kardashian's children's goofy names.
I'm still going through the list of her former husbands.
His name is Saint.
Saint. Yeah.
Saint.
Saint West. Saint West. And, right. Saint West and Northwest.
North and Saint.
Yes.
Yeah, those kids aren't going to be troubled.
No.
At all.
No.
We wish them the best.
Well, I wonder what his middle name is. Is it like Saint Kanye? Saint, you know, because whatever his name is, he's a saint.
Well, you know, as parents, you always shorten it up. So what do you call your kid if your kid's name is Northwest? N.W.?
Yep. And the first one, S.S.T.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, look at the size of Mommy's Bastille. I don't know why I've turned it into... I don't know if I've turned why I've turned it into a Johnny Carson voice. All right, there's a movie classic that was sequeled and sequeled and sequeled and going to be sequeled again. What are we talking about?
Are you ready for another Austin Powers movie?
I kind of am.
I sort of am, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I am too.
I was looking at some clips this morning. Those were funny, funny, funny movies.
Yeah.
Mike Myers is saying that they are thinking about it. They're closer than they've ever been to possibly doing this. They haven't 100% signed off on it, but... he and his director, Jay Roach, are, you know, they say that they're waiting for exactly the right material. This is the 20th, almost to the day, the 20th anniversary of when Austin Powers International Man of Mystery was first released in 1997. And the last Austin Powers movie, Goldmember, which I remember Steve was involved in some litigation with that because that was your stage name for a long time.
It was, and I'm still getting the flakes of gold out of some very uncomfortable places.
That was 15 years ago.
And that's when we saw, and I think that's the last time we saw Beyonce act, and I thought she was great.
I thought she was very good in that as well. I couldn't agree with you more. I wish she would do a little more acting. So anyway, there might be another Austin Powers movie. That would be fantastic and worth $1 million.
Did
I don't know what I'm drunk. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Did you see that Beyonce and what's her husband's name?
Jay-Z.
Oh yeah, Jay-Z.
Jay-Z West.
And Beyonce and Jay-Z are looking at buying the most expensive house in Hollywood.
What was it? I read this the other day.
I thought it was close to $200 million for the house.
Okay, it's a ridiculous. It's like a 5-city blocks or something. Gigantically ridiculous. You know, they're about to have twins. They need a little more space.
You do have to get more space, but the weird part is only one bathroom. You would think
that doesn't seem. Now,
you're the real estate agent to the stars. What would that list for?
That would the home that they're looking at. You mean?
Yeah.
Well, let me let's see here.
You know, TMZ was saying.
Let me check it on the MLS listings.
One of the homes that they looked at in Bel Air was $135 million. But this was the funny part. They said that they couldn't afford that because their budget is only $80 million.
Well, the listing price, Steve, on this this is a 30,000 square foot property that they're looking at.
Yes,
8 bedrooms because that's how
it's 8 bedrooms.
Yeah,
okay.
That's 8 bedrooms. Listing price 135. They offered 120.
Hmm.
120. On
they went outside the budget.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't want to undercut them, but I'll give you $314 for that house, and I'll give it to you in cash, and I'll do it today.
I don't think we can get that done, Steve. I don't know if you realize that this home is at the end of an olive tree lined and stone paved walkway.
Well, I'll take it to 320 then.
There's more. If only I could find it right now.
Did you see how many bathrooms, Dean?
11.
Oh, I thought it was 21. I must be looking at a different home looking at.
Yeah, the listing that I have says 11 bathrooms.
Oh, my God.
And 3 swimming pools, because you need 3.
Yep. Florida ceiling glass panels, 10,000 square feet of outdoor area, 4 swimming pools, basketball court, a garage for 15 cars, and separate staff quarters. Library, office, screening
you don't
room.
Want the staff too close to you.
Could you see if people came over and said, "Can I use the bathroom?" And they'd go, "Oh, like 9th door on the left."
Well, it's probably like mattress firm stores. There's one on every corner. Come on. So, congratulations to the future home of Beyonce and her husband Fred.
Yeah, I hope Jay-Z West.
What's the James Earl Jones new honor?
James Earl Jones is going to get a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Tony Awards this year. I can't believe he hasn't already gotten a Lifetime Achievement Awards. One of the most legendary actors of all time, on certainly on stage, but in general.
And you know what he says about Orion's voice?
Girl. He's a girl.
Sissy. Sissy girl.
Yep.
That's what he says. All right, Silver Circle Awards are tonight. You are a member of the Silver Circle.
Yes, I am.
Is there any sort of secret handshake?
There is. I would have to kill you if I told you anything about it. But tonight, being inducted, and this is the Chicago Television Academy's kind of Lifetime Achievement Award, and tonight being awarded to Marianne Ahern, to Steve Baskerville,
two very nice people, by the way.
Very nice people. James Angio, Ron Bourne, Katie Carrillo, Sam Ventura, and
and I are just making names up.
Posthumously to Paul Hogan, who was a tremendous reporter at WMAQ, and and the husband to WBBM's Chris Kreidel, by the way.
I didn't know that.
To Phil Walters, and to the great Gene Siskel.
Well, there you go. That's tonight. Now, will you be there? Will you be there?
I will be there.
You will be there. Of course, you have to go.
I will be there.
You're going to be there looking at your watch going, come on.
TikTok, come on. We made this move way faster last year.
Congratulations to Rob Feeder. Very glad to hear. He's now affiliated with the Daily Herald. So you go to robertfeeder.com and read his blog.
Yep, that's how we find out if we're fired.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And how about some movies?
there are really two big movies opening this weekend. Steve, one of them they did not screen for the critics, so you know it's extra good. That's they don't never want to brag about these movies, so they don't let the critics see them.
Which one is that?
It's called How to Be a Latin Lover.
Is that the one that stars Steve Dale?
Yes.
If.
Steve Dale and his dog that looks like a rat. Yes. The it's a comedy. Here's what I know about it. It's a comedy. And Raquel Welch is in it. That's really I know about this movie.
Raquel Welch was rude to Patty Vasquez. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah, Patty was doing something, and Raquel Welch was there, and she was mean to her.
That's not good.
No. Do you know Raquel Welch?
I have never met Raquel Welch.
I've never met her either.
Met her. Now I don't want to.
Nope.
Now, if she showed up here and said, I personally just want to talk to Dean Richards, I would say no way. You can't be mean to Patty Vasquez and expect to chat with us.
Not until you apologize to Patty.
Yeah, that's never going to happen.
And we got a new Tom Hanks movie?
New Tom Hanks, Emma Watson movie that's called The Circle. It's about this giant corporation that's like, it's kind of like Apple. Tom Hanks is the Steve Jobs-like owner of this company. And basically what they do is that they keep massive amounts of data on everyone who joins the circle, as it's called. And the collecting all this data is supposed to feed into the theory that if we know as much information about you as possible, there's no way anything could go wrong with that much transparency. That's the thinking on that. And the movie balances that with way too much technology and the dangers that could happen because of that. It's a fairly interesting premise. Unfortunately, the characters are not very interesting.
Is Tom Hanks a bad guy in this movie? He looks like it in the trailer.
I think they want to make you think that. I think you'll be a little bit surprised by the structure of this movie. But it's the movie to me was mostly about transparency versus technology. And if we are getting into a time where we have too much technology and does it really benefit us. I just didn't think that the writing was very good, the stories, the characters and the story really not fully developed. So I only gave this one a C-. Not super
pretty low for a Tom Hanks movie.
Not super recommending this. And I love Tom Hanks and Emma Watson. Both Patton Oswalt is in the movie, John Boyega from the last Star Wars movie. And
wasn't he one of the Waltons?
Who's that? John Boyega?
John Boy.
Yes.
No, different guy?
No, you're right. You're 100% right.
Remember at the end of the Waltons, they'd go, good night, John Boyega?
Yeah. And he'd say, I'm in Star Wars. Why am I even in this house? And Bill Paxton in his final performance also in this movie.
All right, Sunday, Dean's on the radio at 9. Have a great weekend, buddy.
Bye.
Back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Back on the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. Listen, sometimes you have to have a real scare in life before you realize how blessed and how lucky you are. You're going to meet Mark Moore in just a second to talk about it. You might remember Bob Harper, one of the top trainers in the country, and he was one of the biggest loser trainers. Mm-hmm. In great shape, obviously. Had a heart attack a couple of months ago. I've just gone through my second and third pulmonary embolisms. You know, if you don't realize you're blessed at some point, maybe you never do. Mark Moore was 46 years old, cruising along, great life, husband, a father, a successful business, and had not one but two strokes that came out of nowhere. And his new book's called A Stroke of Faith, A Stroke Survivor, A Story of a Second Chance at Living a Life of Significance. He joins us in studio, and welcome and good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Surprised I didn't see you at the meeting of the Lucky Guys Club. Because we all go there, don't we?
Yes, we do.
You're going to be speaking at the American Heart Association Health and Wellness Fair. When is that?
That is this Saturday. Tomorrow.
So tomorrow. And that's the House of Hope, right?
That's
tomorrow
correct. About that? House of House Hope. House of Hope. That's correct.
752 East 114th Street, if you're in the area, if you're planning on going. All right, so let's go backwards here. You're 46 years old. What are you doing for a living?
Executive for a startup company, which is what I've done all of my career. I've started up businesses. I will take them public, raise money, and sell the company.
Right. So exciting life. Build a business, sell it, make a buck, and move on and start another one and build it and sell it. Really cruising along. How many kids?
Two kids.
How old?
At the time, my son was 15, and my daughter was 23 at the time.
Very busy lives for them as well, but I'm sure you're very active in their lives. Happy marriage.
Absolutely.
You're 46 years old, and you had a stroke. Where were you when the first one hit?
Actually, I was helping coach my son's baseball practice on the Saturday before Mother's Day.
And how did you realize you were in trouble?
As I was walking to the field, I realized that I was losing my balance, my equilibrium. But because I had none of the signs of a stroke, I didn't have high blood pressure. I didn't have high cholesterol. I wasn't diabetic. I didn't smoke. I wasn't a drinker. And I exercised, to be honest with you. I didn't think it was anything serious. But as I got closer to the baseball field and I realized that I was losing the ability to walk, I realized something was going wrong at that time.
And so you dropped to a knee or whatever? Because here's the other thing. Guys like you, Mark, guys like me, guys in general, you can hear all the inner signals. And your body's 911 system is going off, and the last thing you want to do is admit any weakness, right?
That is correct, Steve. And I did not want to admit any weakness, as a matter of fact. And you'll appreciate this. What I did, you made the term drop to one knee, and that's exactly what I did. But not because of sickness. I was more concerned that the parents of the other kids in the team would think that their kid's son had been drinking on a Saturday afternoon.
There you go.
So I dropped the one knee simply to untie my shoe to tie it back to try to pull myself together. And when I got to the practice field, because of the adrenaline, I was able to get through the 2 hours of practice. But the minute practice ended, I realized that something was still wrong, seriously wrong.
All right, and did you ever have the other classic symptoms, your ability to speech goes, or you get the face drooping, or any of that?
You know, actually, it's funny you mentioned that, because had I been aware of the signs of a stroke, I might have known right away and went to the hospital. The American Heart Association uses an acronym called FAST, F-A-S-T. The F stands for facial drooping, the A stands for arm weakness, the S stands for speech difficulty, and the T stands for time to call 911. Because what they realize is that the sooner you can get to a hospital, the better are your chances of recovery from a stroke. But at that time, I wasn't aware of the acronym FAST. And had I been aware of it, I would have known right away that I was experiencing a stroke. But because I didn't, it ended up being working out okay. But I went through the 2 hours of practice, which was a bad thing to do. But luckily, everything worked out well for me.
I think, Steve, and I've talked to you about this. I think that's how my mother caught my father's stroke. He was in his late 60s, and he turned to her. He was in his office at home, and he said, "What's my password on the computer?" Mm-hmm. And she said, "Well, you know, whatever the password was at the time." And he said, "What's my name?" And his speech started to slur a little bit. She immediately called the doctor, their family physician. He said, call 911, and he was okay. He recovered from it. He had some short-term memory loss for a while, but he said because it was so quick and she noticed those signs and those symptoms and called 911, that's what saved him from long-term damage.
Yeah, and thank God she was there.
Yeah.
because that's how your life is extended, by saving all that time and saving that brain loss. That's the T. Mm-hmm. That's the time and fast. But, Mark, I would think, too, because you were in great shape and you lived a healthy life, that probably played in your favor, too, even though you waited 2 hours, you knucklehead. all right, so you get to the hospital, and what was your recovery like from the first one?
Well, the recovery is funny. When I got to the hospital, now they, you know, they take you to the nearest hospital initially, which is always the right thing to do. But I will tell people, if you once you determine you have a stroke, you really want to get to a stroke certified hospital.
Yep, absolutely.
So they took me to the nearest hospital, and initially they told me that I was having a mini stroke, which was an incorrect diagnosis. And you know, nothing against the hospital, but they weren't stroke certified, and they did the best they could. And that was the wrong diagnosis. So that Saturday, they told me I was having a mini stroke. It was Saturday before Mother's Day. Monday rolled around, the day after Mother's Day. They came in and told me, hey, you had a mini stroke. We think you'll be going home on Friday. And that was the last thing I remember until about 4 weeks later when I woke up one morning and an early morning newscast was on. And I saw this guy 4 a.m. say, hey, and this weekend we'll be celebrating Father's Day. And I
you went from Mother's Day to Father's Day because the second stroke hit while you were in the hospital, right?
That's correct. The second stroke hit that Monday after Mother's Day, and the second stroke brought about complications. It caused the artery in the brain to dissect, and it released blood into the cavity where the brain sits, puts pressure on the brain. And so while I was sitting there on that Monday talking to my wife, she said all of a sudden, she goes, mid-sentence, you stop talking. And fell asleep.
Yeah.
And this is the beauty. If you can have loved ones around you, it's absolutely helpful. Because my wife went to a nurse and said, hey, there's something wrong with my husband. And the nurse goes, nah, I think he's okay. He's just tired. And, well, she insisted. She goes, nah, there's something wrong. He was talking to me. Now he's not talking. He's fell asleep. She goes, can you please take him downstairs to check? They took me downstairs to run a brain scan. And while they run the brain scan, they realized, oh, this guy's having a second stroke.
Wow.
And a brain and artery has dissected. And it's releasing blood and putting pressure in his brain.
So you were bleeding out in your brain at that point.
That's correct. I was very fortunate because at that time, a neurosurgeon happened to be walking by, saw my brain scan on a monitor, and said, hey, this guy's in serious trouble. Who's his doctor? And they're like, well, his doctor's not here. And she said, hey, look, you know, this guy's going to die if we don't perform brain surgery right now. Get his doctor on the phone. I'll talk to his doctor. I'm going to clear my calendar. And I need to perform emergency brain surgery on this guy right now.
Wow.
That's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
What kind of lucky horseshoe are you living under?
Boy, no kidding.
You aren't kidding.
And your wife? Yeah,
what is his doctor's name that saved you?
It's Dr. Angie Kim. She was a neurosurgeon in the Washington, D.C. area. She now lives out in Wyoming, a wonderful doctor. And to your point, my wife's upstairs thinking I'm downstairs getting a brain scan.
Uh-huh.
Up comes Dr. Angie Kim, you know, some 15 minutes later, and introduces herself. Remember, my wife had no idea who she was. And she goes to explain that, hey, I just saw your husband's brain scan, and I need to perform emergency brain surgery right now. Oh, and by the way, you know, he may not make it. So my wife is like freaking out, to your point. She's like, what are you kidding me? I thought he was going downstairs for a brain scan. So, but yes, you're absolutely right. You know, it was a terrifying moment. Uh-huh. But certainly, I feel I'm unbelievably blessed and feel very, very fortunate to be here today.
How about your wife?
Terrifying for your wife.
Yeah.
Terrifying for your wife. You slept through it.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, and Steve, you make a very good point because while I went through this, the fact of the matter is your family goes through it too.
Yes.
And my wife and kids went through the process too. But the beauty of they made my stroke their stroke. It was a family stroke. And it wasn't. You know, my husband had a stroke. My father had a stroke. It was, look, the family's had a stroke. And they made this part of the process. And that makes the recovery a lot easier if you love
it. And that's all detailed, too, in A Stroke of Faith, A Stroke Survivor's Story of a Second Chance of Living a Life of Significance. In stores now, just in time for American Stroke Month in May. Very inspirational. I want to come back, talk some more, get Dave in here as well, and talk more with just one of the luckiest guys you are ever going to meet, and he won't argue with that assessment. The doctor's walking by the video monitor. Could have been anywhere. Could have been looking in the other direction. Unbelievable. More with Mark Moore, but right after that, or before that, I should say, let's get Mary Vanderbilt. Talking to Mark Moore, the luckiest guy you're ever going to meet, and his book is called A Stroke of Faith, A Stroke Survivor's Story of a Second Chance at Living a Life of Significance. Get two copies. You're careless. You'll lose the first one. Dave, what's your question?
Well, the thing that struck me about Mark's story is the initial reluctance of the nurse when his wife knew something was wrong. And I've seen that happen in hospitals. And it's understandable because everybody's overworked and stressed. But if your wife hadn't been persistent at that moment to say, because she knows you and she knows something's going wrong.
Absolutely, Dave. And Dave, you're so right. It's understandable. The hospitals, they deal with this stuff every day. And sometimes as patients, we can sometimes be very, very difficult. And it's a stressful job, and it can absolutely wear them down. And they think, huh, these folks don't know what they're talking about. But in my particular case, my wife's a registered nurse. So she knew. And when I was in the hospital, she would not tell them that she was a registered nurse because she wanted them to just do mm-hmm. their thing. And then when it would happen, then she would jump in and say, hey, I think you need to check something. And then she would say, you know, and by the way, you know, I'm a registered nurse, so I really think there's something going on here.
Yeah, and you don't have to be a registered nurse. Everybody's worried about being rude. Everybody's worried about, you know, upsetting someone. Older generation is always, you know, the doctors know what they're talking about. I don't want to be a bother. You are the best advocate for your health. You always will be. And you're the best advocate for the people you love who are in a health concern. And you're the one looking at them. You're the one that knows their moves. You're the one that knows what they look like, when they're happy, they're sad, whatever. Forget about being rude. Speak up when you think you need to speak up. This is not a time for polite. It doesn't mean you're being a jerk. It means you want the best care. And if it turns out you're wrong, apologize later.
And Steve, that is so well said. And my wife did step up. And I like what you said. We must be an advocate for our own health and for our own well-being. And as I went through this process, you know, as I went through the recovery, I decided I was going to be an advocate for my own well-being. And as you said that, I remember one thing as I was going through the recovery, a good friend of mine, a childhood friend from New York City, I've known since I was 4 or 5. I told you, family, friends, and faith was a big part of my recovery. And friends came down to visit me to encourage me and cheer me on. And I certainly needed that. And he came down and he told me he's a marathon runner now. And he said, hey, you ever think about running? Because with some of the deficits from the stroke, going back playing basketball and baseball and softball would have been a challenge.
Sure.
And I needed something physically. I had not thought about it. But when he told me, I go, you know what? That's not a bad idea. Maybe I'll run. And I remember going to my rehab. And in all fairness, you know, remember, I was in a wheelchair. And I went from a wheelchair to a walker and from a walker to a cane. So I'm using a cane. And I sit in the room with my physical therapist. And I go, you know what? I think I'm running around a 5K on the anniversary date of my stroke. And the physical therapist looked at me. And it sounded just like this. It was silence. She said nothing. And I looked across the room, and I'm like, did you hear me? And she goes, oh, I heard you. And I'm like, you didn't say anything. She goes, because I think it's a bad idea.
Right.
And so I looked at it, and I'm like, well, I'll tell you what, let's do this. I go, you know, no one's going to force me to run a 5K. I want to try to run a 5K on the anniversary date. If I'm not ready, then I won't run. But I want to try to make it a goal. And I come back to your point, Steve. We've got to be our own advocate, right? And you're absolutely right in terms of our well-being, our health. And it's very, very important. I agree with you.
And by the way, did you run the 5K?
Yes, I did run the 5K. And I'm proud to say when I tell that story, I actually ran the 5K. I completed the 5K in 36 minutes. A sub 12-minute mile pace.
Wow. That's super good.
That's fantastic.
Really good.
Oh, thank you. And
wait till he starts running without his cane.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing about that story is, had I ran that 5K before I had those two strokes, I could not have done it in a sub 12-minute mile pace. I can tell you that for sure.
Wow.
You're a blessed man. You know that. And I'm pleased to have you on the show. I think you're really inspirational, and I look forward to reading your book as well. Friday, you got to work into it slowly here. Just sway a little bit.
When my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face.
Like Andre. Andre's getting a groove on.
I've got the sound of WGN. 720 locked in place.
face.
Look at Vanderbilt. She getting a little wiggle.
Now I've tuned to you.
Oh, Dave, not the, don't bite the lip, Dave.
All right with me. Yeah,
Dave's
gone
with the white man overbite. We're going to have to stop.
Voice and wake up call. I know that it can only be.
I know what you want to do, though. You want to sing.
Steve Cochran Show. Cochran Show.
That's the great John DeCoste, musical director of the program. He does it better than Bill Withers. And I love Bill Withers. I couldn't see Grzanich. Were we getting Grzanich dancing?
A little bit, yeah. He was kind of doing the white man's overbite.
Yeah, Grzanich dancing sounds like a high-end dance, like a study course you'd have to take, right? From a famous European instructor.
Hey, I used to be a rave kid, man. I was dancing with the best of them.
You studied Grzanich dance? Do you carry around your piece of plywood and still do the breakdancing thing on the street for money?
Maybe not breakdancing, but I could do some disco dancing.
Nice.
You could do that on regular cardboard paper, too.
Yep.
Like a cardboard box.
Well, that's how you get hurt. The plywood, really. It's much better. Yeah. And listen, every Friday it's the same story. You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to see a movie? I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know. You want to get something to eat? Maybe. I don't know. What do you want to do? And eventually the two of you get in a huge fight. Well, we don't want you to get in a huge fight. We want you to know what you want to do. What you want to do? Let's bring in Front Row Phyllis.
What do you feel like doing tonight?
What?
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 Do what?
What do you feel like doing? What?
Going back to that.
What do you want to do?
All right, Phyllis, it's up to you. Save us from ourselves. What do you want to do this weekend?
Right. What do we want to do this weekend? Well, you want to check out the Rolling Stones Exhibitionism over at Navy Pier. So it is running now through July 30th. And I don't know if you heard about this. You don't have to just be a Rolling Stones fan. It's for people that just have a love for design and fashion and music and art.
Yeah, Andrea, you did a story on this for Channel 9, didn't you?
Yeah, it's really cool. It's like the largest collection of Rolling Stones memorabilia in the country. It's only been to New York, too, and now here, and it's awesome. And there's a 3D interactive experience, too, so you can act like you're at the Rolling Stones concert.
Well, you know, Phyllis, I'm more of a Cool in the Gang fan. You wouldn't have a Cool in the Gang option for me, would you?
I happen to have a Cool in the Gang option, and I know what you're going to be doing tonight. Over at the venue in the Horseshoe Casino, you're going to go see Kool and the Gang.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can't forget their number one hit, and that's Celebrate. You know that song is still played at most weddings to this day?
That's how you get white people up. You want to get white people up? Start playing Kool and the Gang, Celebration, or Bob Seger, Old Time Rock and Roll, and white people will move. They can't help themselves.
They can't help themselves. Well, you know what's also tonight? Is Lynyrd Skynyrd is going to be over at the Star Plaza. And what's great is that they're going to be hitting the road again with their Southern rock style after 40 years of doing this. And, you know, they say that things have changed over the decades, but their music and their sound still remains the same.
Big weekend coming up in Lake County for the Home and Garden Show?
Yeah, so it's that time of year, and that is tomorrow and on Sunday. It runs from 10 to 5. Over at the Lake County Fairgrounds in Grays Lake, and you'll get a chance to see the latest products and services to remodel your house or repair or just beautify your home inside or out.
I don't really even know the Chainsmokers music. You know when I was a disc jockey, I didn't know everything. Who on the show is a Chainsmokers music fan?
Love Chainsmokers.
You do?
Yep. Yeah.
Love them.
Yeah. All right. So, what's the Chainsmokers' biggest hit, Steve?
You know, I could name one of the songs. I just know
just
all
like the music.
It's a lot of dance music. Yeah, lots of good dance music. Electronic.
Well, they're going to be at the Allstate.
They are. They're going to be at the Allstate Arena tomorrow night. And you know, these guys, you know their hit. Their hit number one that won Grammy was Closer, and that was with Halsey. And they actually just did a collaboration with Coldplay just 2 months ago. So they are climbing up the charts. They are actually a group that was formed in 2012 as an EDM duo, and they made their first live appearance in 2014, and now they are literally all over the place and selling out arenas across the country. Yeah. So,
EDM, by the way, stands for electronic dance music.
And, Steve, when I think EDM, I think you. I think you was a clubbing guy. Steve used to wear the mouse head. Wasn't that you, the guy with the mouse head?
I gave them the idea for the mouse head, yes.
Yes. Architectural Artifacts for 20. What's happening?
Yeah, so it is called Show of Hands, and it runs on Saturday and Sunday. Admission is free, and it's from 10 to 5 o'clock. And you know what's great is it's their third year, and they get a chance to show designers from in and around Chicago selling their work. So you're going to get a chance to see people that are showcasing stationery and ceramics and woodworks and textiles, clothing, accessories, and plenty more. So you definitely want to check that out. It's in Ravenswood.
And a reminder, if tickets are still available, I think they went on sale this morning, Paul McCartney at the Hollywood Casino, right?
Yeah, so this is the biggest show that Hollywood Casino Amphitheater has ever done. So Paul McCartney will be here on July 25th. Tickets go on sale to the general public tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. So you definitely want to jump on this. This week they started selling tickets, I believe, on Tuesday for the CityCard members. And like I said, they go on sale to the general public. He's going to be here with Neil Young and Bob Weir as well. And you'll get a chance to supposedly he's going to do nothing less than 3-hour show. So that's right. What he does.
Three hours, and he doesn't pee. He doesn't pee. I don't know how he doesn't. He's 70. Andrea, how old did you tell me he is? 75?
Yeah, 75.
75?
Really?
75, he should be peeing every 6-7 minutes. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he does it. He's amazing. He's Paul McCartney. Phyllis, thank you. Let's take a break. Come back on 720 WGN. Little Bruce for you, 922. The Steve Cochran Show continues. Andrea, you want to tell everybody what you're going to be doing at noon today?
Oh, I'm going to be axe throwing today. Channel 9 did a special on this new company. It's kind of a team building exercise, if you will. It's funny, we're going with a bunch of coworkers here. Stephanie Menendez, our assistant program director, comes up with these fun ideas, this team building exercise to do. So we are going to...
Our invitations were lost.
So we are going to go axe throwing today, Steve.
I was invited by Patty Vasquez, but... basically every couple of days now at noon, I just go to a medical facility and I'm tapped for about a half gallon of blood.
It's called bad axe throwing.
Yeah, how Dave, nobody axed me either.
Yeah, so I suppose I could just go axe throwing. Listen, I suppose I could go axe throwing with you guys. Just one of you bound to hit me, and then they could just get the blood that way.
You know what's funny? There's a whole art to this. You think you would be a one-handed thing, you know, kind of like in the old days how they used to whip an axe and throw it, but there's a whole art to this. It's almost like you have to use two hands. We're going to have a class, I think, before we just start throwing axes.
And remember,
well, I would hope so.
Not at each other.
Yeah, no, not at each other. There's like it's not just at the wall. There's like, it's like a pegboard, almost like throwing darts.
Isn't there a bar there too?
I don't think here is there. Oh, that'd be great.
For any of you young people in radio who are looking for a job, there may be some openings here after tonight.
Yeah, they could be clearing out a whole bunch of staff people. That's a great point.
They have some great rules, though. Of course, beforehand, you know, like no sandals. You can't have open-toed shoes. You can't drink before you go.
Because people are dropping their axe on their toes?
Yeah, yeah. You have to have closed-toed shoes to do this.
Well, listen, if you drop your axe on your toe and cut your toe off, maybe you shouldn't be in the building.
Maybe you should wear steel-plated ones.
Steel construction shoes.
Does the place have a liquor license?
I didn't think so. Is that, Dave, are you hearing that from
Dave,
you making
memorized
that up?
Dave, the liquor licenses of every place that has one.
Yes, I have. No, I thought they did. I thought it's like a social thing where you go and have a beer and throw an axe.
Well, maybe afterwards. Not before.
It says
do you get
it
to
says,
bring like a picture of your ex or somebody you're upset with?
That you can put on the wall.
Yeah.
Your ex to throw the axe at. That's a good question. I don't know.
So.
Maybe we should.
We could bring our Northwestern heads. You know,
no, I don't want to throw an axe at my face.
Well, not at your face. Maybe others.
Yeah, I'm guessing you guys are going to bring mine.
It's the only one sitting around.
That'll fit on the wall, right?
What a decision to make, though. Who would you throw an axe at here on the staff? I'm trying to think.
Oh, jeez.
Like I said, depending on the day, you'd all get an axe from me.
No.
The axe throwing takes place, and you're not invited, staff, to the staff party, but certainly go and storm it if you like. But and these people aren't asking for a plug because I'm sure we're paying to go there.
We are.
But this place is in the city, you said?
It's 165 North Loomis, so it's kind of near West Side, and it's called Bad Axe throwing. Bad Axe.
I think it's A-X-A. A franchise. I think that's the one. Remember we were talking about the one in Jersey?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you brought that up a while ago. Now it's kind of the go-to destination for, you know, birthday parties, corporate events, that kind of thing. Used to just be you go bowling or, you know, to a sporting event. Now you go axe throwing.
Dave and I lost a bunch of money. We invested in the similar concept, but it was explosives.
Yes.
And you just would go in and throw grenades at each other, and it just didn't work out.
Then you could have a Molotov cocktail.
Right. Literally. Right, right. Yeah, it could theme out the menu. Uh-huh.
You literally did have a bang doing that, though. It was great.
You know, so. I can't reach the seventh floor. Mary, would you go over and hit Steve for me?
I'm hitting myself.
All right, fine. I appreciate it.
I'll bring the axes back, Steve.
President Trump is not throwing axes today, but I'm gonna predict tomorrow morning. Remember, Saturdays used to be the go-to day for crazy Trump tweets, because Jared Kushner, his chief babysitter, and Ivanka weren't around to keep him in line because on the Sabbath they don't get involved with a workday, and that was usually when the craziest things would come through Trump's tweet stream. So I'm anticipating tomorrow being the official 100th day. You're going to see a lot. I'm thinking you're going to see a lot. I'm hoping he doesn't start World War III tomorrow, but I'd keep an eye on Trump's Twitter feed tomorrow. He did an interview with Reuters yesterday. Here's some of the highlights, lowlights, depending on your perspective. He said, I loved my previous life. I had so many things going. This is more work than in my previous life. I thought it would be easier. He cannot be that dumb. That's got to be another one of those insecure. No, I really can't. That's got to be one of those insecure Trump things where he's got to tell you how cool he is and how cool he thinks he is. Yeah, you know, I thought this would be easier, but it turns out it's harder.
I loved my previous life. I loved my previous life. I had so many things going. I actually, this is more work than in my previous life. I thought it would be easier. I thought it was more of I'm a details-oriented person. I think you would say that. But I do miss my old life.
There was a point in the interview where in the Reuters White House correspondent, who was the chief on this interview, he said it was handed to him completely out of context. What was handed to him? A map of Trump's Electoral College victory. It was Trump handing out this map with red all over it. He had copies for the three Reuters reporters in the room. And he said it was like in the middle of a sentence. And suddenly it went on to something else. Squirrel! And then he hands out the map.
Oh, my God. He can't make it up.
He talked about his lack of privacy. He said, you're really in your own little cocoon because you have such massive protection. You really can't go anywhere. He leaves the White House usually in a limo or an SUV. He said he misses driving. He said, I like to drive. I can't drive anymore. He frequently turns to outside friends and former business allies for contact to remind him of his previous life. We was talking about the correspondence dinner because the Reuters White House correspondent is the president of the Correspondents Association and asked him about it because it's tomorrow night, mm-hmm. and that's when he's going to do his Pennsylvania rally? Is that where he's going
to
be?
Yeah, that's why it was a scheduling conflict, why he couldn't go to the correspondence mm-hmm. dinner. But he's speaking at the NRA today.
The Reuters guy asked him about it, and he goes, you know, I come next year, absolutely. Okay, we'll see.
Maybe, yeah, we'll see. Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see.
You got some punch!
Job, you and House Hill, you gotta do is rub that lamp.
And I'll say,
Mr. Aladdin, sir, what will your pleasure be?
Let me take your order, jot it down. You ain't never had a friend like me.
Life is your restaurant, and
I'm your maitre d'.
Come on, whisper what it is you want. You ain't never had a friend like me.
Yes, sir, we pride ourselves on service.
You're the boss, the king, the Shah.
Say what you wish, it's yours, true dish. About a little more baklava.
Have some of column A, try all of column B. I'm in the mood to help you, dude. You ain't never had a friend like me. Mama. No, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Can your friends do this? Just getting a little lost in the music. Anthony Murphy's here. Anthony Murphy is the genie.
Hello.
Making his national. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Good.
Are you as fabulous as I hear?
I try.
He's modest. He's more than fabulous, Steve. He stole the show of Aladdin.
Andrea, correct me if I'm wrong. Weren't you sitting with his family?
I was. Yeah, I was sitting in about the fifth row. Was opening night for Aladdin, and I was excited to see it. I thought, oh, it'll be a nice production. I was blown away. The set was fantastic. When Anthony stepped on stage, Steve, I've never seen this happen before. He got a standing ovation after his first song. You know, normally that's at the end of the musical. And the folks in front of me, they were so beautiful and so excited and so happy. And I said to my friend, they must be related. So sure enough, at intermission, it was your mom and your cousin, and they were beaming, Anthony. They were so proud of you.
I was so happy to have them there. It was just really awesome, and they had an amazing time. They came back the next day and saw the show again. They came right back. They were like, we got to see it again. My dad was there, and he was like, I have to see it again because the first night, I only looked at you. I don't even know what happened in the show. I just kept watching you. I was
how
like,
sweet is that?
I was like, all right. You win some points there. So, yeah. So yeah, they came. They loved it, though.
Always good to have your family going, B-A-N-A-N-A-S. And when you're up on stage, because you know your mom's laugh, your mom's yell, your dad's, you know, hoot, your dad's holler, Could you focus when they were going nuts for you?
It was a little interesting at first. You know, I start the show off with Arabian Nights, and from the moment I walked out, they were so close, I could actually see them in the audience. Yeah. And they were the only people I could see, actually, because after that, it just gets into darkness. So I see them, and I'm just like, oh, well, there they are. This is how this is going to go. Just let's forget it and keep going. You just kind of forget that stuff and keep doing your show. And
Steve, Anthony does something very cool. We will not give it away. Something customized just for Chicago audiences.
Oh,
which
yes.
Just the
yes,
crowd
yes.
Went crazy.
Oh, they love it every time. Yeah. Every time they love it. We love Chicago, though. They've been so nice to us.
Dave, have you seen it yet?
I have seen it. It's wonderful. And we were talking about it a little bit. I think everything Andrea said is absolutely true. It's just a great show, and Anthony's fantastic.
Anthony Murphy and Aladdin. Tickets for Aladdin at the Cadillac Palace Theater, $44, $150. Pick your price range. Tickets available at all Broadway and Chicago box offices and the Broadway and Chicago ticket line. That's 800-775-2000. Anthony, where'd you grow up?
St. Petersburg, Florida.
And what sort of theater community is there that you would be inspired?
You know what's funny? I actually started off really young. When I was in the first grade, I was having some troubles in school, and the teachers wanted to give me all kind of medications and stuff to make me better. And my family
was like... Because you couldn't focus.
Because I couldn't focus. And my family was like, no, we're not going to do that. So they actually transferred me to a performing arts elementary school. And it was very new at the time. And I fell in love, and I started succeeding. And then they were like, oh, no, he's a genius. He's a great student. He just needed an outlet to do things. So I stayed in theater there, went to the middle school, and then to the high school, and then that's all she wrote.
Steve, I said that his understudies, I'm sure they're wonderful, but have to pray because you steal this show. You're so good. I said his understudies probably have to go, oh, please don't get sick. Please just stay inside if it's cold.
Yeah.
But there's a, Anthony, you know, there's a thing in show business, and it's easier in stand-up because it's more regimented and who goes first, who goes second, who goes third. But there's certain things you don't want to follow. And it's not just kids and animal acts. If you got somebody that goes out and just kills, you don't want to be the next person on stage. So, Anthony, how long has the rest of the cast hated you?
Oh, you know, we have a good time. We have a good time. So the good thing about this show is everyone is also amazing.
Yes, yes.
You know, Jafar is so sinister and hilarious. And Iago, his buddy, is amazing. Aladdin is running all over the stage. I mean, he just doesn't stop running. Jasmine is so beautiful and gorgeous, and her voice is amazing. It's just, and the ensemble, oh my God, when they dance, all the dancers, it's crazy.
It's incredible. It's you're touring, obviously, with Aladdin. Are you going to maybe at the end take the lamp?
I would love to.
You should take the
right?
lamp.
I know. We'll see what I can do.
Yeah, create a diversion. So did you go, what route did you take? Did you go Florida, New York?
I was in Florida, and then I actually went to school in Ohio. I went to Otterbein University in Ohio, in Westerville, Ohio. So that was fun. I was like,
I don't know that school. Is that a big theater school?
It is a very small school. About 2,500 students in the entire school, private liberal arts school, but they have an amazing theater program. and it was the opposite of Florida. So I was like, what's the opposite of Florida? Let's go there. So I went to Ohio, and then after that, went to New York, and was there for about a year, actually. And then...
did you get cast for this out of New York?
Yeah, they did, out of New York, yes.
Yeah, so. Did you spend any time in Chicago before?
I had not. First time I moved here was starting rehearsal, so I got
all right,
here.
So let's ask you all the cliched questions. You got a favorite restaurant yet?
Oh, see, the thing is, they keep us really busy. So,
what are you working nights?
I know, right? We've just opened, so now is the time where I get to explore. You know, we've been in rehearsals all day, and then go
so basically,
home
you're
and
saying
sleep.
The cast of Aladdin has not eaten since the show
exactly,
opened.
Exactly. Other than some takeout, no. But the pizza's great. I love the pizza. I can't.
Yeah,
stop
it's hard to miss
pizza.
On pizza, but we got to spread you. I know. Out I a little bit. What's your favorite type of food? Do you have a cuisine that you like?
The
best?
Kind that you eat.
Yeah.
Because you like food.
I just like food. There's not
You are
much.
In the right town, buddy.
Exactly. That's what they keep telling me.
You know, and Steve, Anthony was saying off the air, too, that Chicago audiences, we love our theater. I mean, I'm sure the responses and the reaction that you're getting and the cast has just been overwhelming.
It's been so amazing. I mean, every day we go to the stage door and there are these kids out there and they love the show so much. And more than the kids, it's the parents and the couples that come to the show. We have a lot of couples that come to the show for date nights and stuff like that.
That's kind
of cool.
Because
it's really, you're going to have a good time. You're going to, like, it's just a really fun time. Yeah.
Andrea, how long is the show?
The show is, with the intermission, about 2:45, almost 3 hours. It flies by, though. I mean,
right.
it's one of those musicals. The set is spectacular. Yeah. It's beautiful when you're in the cave with all the gold.
The costumes.
And, yeah, the costumes are just wonderful. And when, you know, the curtain comes down for the intermission, you think, oh, my gosh, I can't believe an hour and 15 minutes just went by.
Yeah.
And Anthony, I like to, when I come to the theater, I like to actually come on stage and do a number. Is that going to be a problem for
you
me?
You know, we will see what we can do. I will see if I can work some magic over there.
Let's do a walk-on.
Right, exactly.
You know, Steve, the thing that struck me after watching Anthony, and the rest of the cast too, but you have to be just as exhausted at the end of the show. It's got to be absolutely draining.
It is a lot, you know. Red Bull is wonderful. actually, I haven't drinking a lot. But it is very exhausting. But, you know, I go home, make sure I rest, make sure I'm try and eat right. And, you know, just get ready for the next show. Make sure I do a proper warm-up, proper cool-down after the show so I'm keeping my body together and keeping my voice together. And, yeah, it is a doozy, though. It takes it out of you. So at the end of the show, I'm definitely go straight to bed.
Where are you guys going after you close Chicago?
We are going to Minneapolis next.
That's a great theater town, too.
Oh, yeah. We have some really nice stops. I'm very excited. I actually haven't been to any of the cities in our first year of touring.
Look at you.
So it's going to be really fun for me.
Very cool.
Well, you're welcome back in Chicago anytime. And I'm telling you, Andrea and Dave both came in and said, you have got to see Anthony.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. If a role was ever designed for somebody, it was designed for you.
Oh, but I'll be honest with you, Anthony. We can't shake your mother. She's coming by the window plugging the show every 15 minutes.
She loves it. She does love it.
She's great.
She said, I want to go on tour with you. I was like, all right, let me see what I can do.
Does she go, hey, I'm going to need 10 for tonight?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. She's like, well, I'm coming back in July, and I'll be in San Francisco with you. And okay.
Are your parents still in Florida?
They are not, actually. They're in Jersey. Yeah, that's where they're originally from. So
yeah, but swinging by Chicago is not exactly a direct route.
No.
And I love what your dad said. I think it's such a cool thing that your dad said, I couldn't take my eyes off you. That's a pretty special moment.
He's pretty awesome.
Sounds like you got a great family, and we really appreciate you. We know you're not up at this hour. We appreciate you getting up and coming in. And again, tickets for Aladdin at the Cadillac Palace Theater. Dave, I don't know what your theater ranking is. What would you give it? 4 balls, 5 balls, 10 balls in sports terms?
I would say, yeah, because what would it highest would be 10. I'd give it 10.
10 balls, and 10 balls.
10 being the highest.
Yeah.
Yeah, Andrea, 4 shopping websites, 10 shopping websites.
10. Are you kidding
ten.
Me? 10.
All right, Anthony Murphy, or as I like to call you, Aladdin. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Oh, and Steve, too, Anthony's going to be singing at the Cubs game in June as well.
Well, that's where the genie should be, right?
That's right. Hey,
are you going to come out of the bottle?
Oh, well, yes. Oh, that would be nice. That's an entrance, right?
Yeah.
Yep, it's all about the entrance. All right, we'll take a break. Come back, Bill and Wendy coming up. Go get tickets for Aladdin now, 720 WGN.